Chapter 6 No Escape. When Zena had gone, Ethan and Maddie stood in silence for a moment. Then Maddie began to tidy the kitchen, and Ethan went outside to check the animals, as he did every night. The room was empty when he returned, but on the table, under his pipe, was a piece of paper. Three words were written on it. Ethan, don't worry. There was a small room at the back of the house where Ethan kept his books and papers. His mother had let him use it as a study room when he first returned to the farm after his father's accident. He still sat there in summer, but the room had no fire, and in winter it was too cold. This was where he went to look again at his message from Maddie. It was the first time she had ever written to him. He read her words and felt nearer to her, but at the same time, he remembered that very soon he would never see her again. Soon there'll be no warm smile, no gentle voice, only this cold paper and dead words, he thought. He lay down on a hard little bed that was there, covered himself with an old coat, and began to think about his life. He had lost so many chances and forgotten so many of his dreams, all to please Zena. But she was now far more discontented than when he had married her. Must he live the rest of his days beside this bitter, complaining woman? No. He was too young and strong, too full of life to throw away all hope of happiness. Then he thought, why shouldn't he leave with Maddie the next day? He would hide his suitcase under the seat of the sleigh, leave Zena a letter. He jumped up, lit the lamp again, sat down at the table, and began to write. Zena, I've done everything I could for you, but it hasn't worked. It's neither my fault nor yours. Maybe it'll be better for both of us if we live apart. I'm going to see what I can find in the West. You can sell the farm and sawmill and keep the money. At that word, he stopped writing and began to think. Without the farm, he would have no money. He was sure that he could find work in the West, but would he get enough money to take care of Maddie, too? And what about Zena, alone on the farm? She couldn't keep it going on her own, and it would be hard to sell. The land was poor, and not many people would want to buy it. But how could he let poor Maddie leave alone? As he picked up his pen, his eye fell on a Bettsbridge newspaper. He saw the words, Journeys to the West, and pulled the lamp nearer to see the prices of the tickets. Then the pen fell from his hand, and he pushed the unfinished letter away. He didn't even have the money to take Maddie to the West. He had already borrowed to mend the sawmill and couldn't borrow any more. The cold facts closed around him like prison doors. There was no way out. None. He was locked in that prison for life, and now his one light was disappearing. He lay down again with a heavy heart and tears burning in his eyes. Through the window, he saw the snow-covered slopes shining in the moonlight, the silver-edged darkness of the woods, and the shadowy purple of the hills against the sky. He felt that the beauty of the night was laughing at him, lying there so miserably. He fell asleep. In the morning, he woke cold and hungry. He went to the window and saw a red sun coming up over the gray edges of the fields. "This is Matt's last day," he said to himself. He tried to think how the place would be without her. He heard a step behind him, turned round, and saw Maddie. She looked so small and thin, standing there in her poor dress in the cold, wintry light. "I'll come and light the kitchen fire," he said. Maddie started her usual morning housework. The kitchen slowly became warmer, and the first sunlight entered the room. Ethan began to feel more hopeful. "Maybe Zena didn't mean what she said," he thought. "Maybe, now that daylight's here, she'll think again and let Maddie stay." He went up to Maddie and touched her arm gently. "I don't want you to worry, Matt," he said, looking down into her eyes with a smile. "I guess things'll be all right."
"No, I ain't going to worry," she said softly.
He went out to the farm, and soon afterwards, Jotham Powell joined him. As they were doing their morning's work with the cows, Jotham said,
"Mrs. Frome told me the new girl's comin' today, and Maddie's leavin'. I got to take her down to the station."
Ethan felt the blood beating in his head. After a moment, he found his voice and said,
"Oh, it ain't so sure that Maddie's going."
"Is that so?"
said Jotham, not at all interested, and he went on with his work. When they returned to the kitchen, the two women were already at breakfast. Zena was eating well and seemed very lively and busy. She looked at the hired man.
"Jotham, I want you here mid-afternoon to pick up Maddie," she said. "The new girl's getting to the station at 5 o'clock. Maddie can get the train at 6.
Then she turned to Maddie and went on.
"Now, what have you done with one of my best cotton sheets? And there are a few other things missing, too."
Maddie followed Zena out of the room, leaving the two men alone.
"I guess I'll come round mid-afternoon then," said Jotham to his employer.
When the morning's work was finished, Ethan said to Jotham,
"I'm going down to Starkfield. Tell them not to wait for me at dinner time."
It was a clear, still morning, with a whisper of spring in the air. The snowy fields shone silver in the bright morning sunlight. Ethan walked down the road, angry and ashamed. So Maddie really was leaving, and he could only stand by, helpless. What must she think of him? As he walked, he could feel a laughing voice in the song of the birds. He knew that he had to do something, but what? Then a thought came to him. Andrew Hale was a kind-hearted man. Maybe, thought Ethan. He'll let me have some money now if I tell him that Zena's really sick and that we need a hired girl to help her. Mrs. Hale will listen to me, I'm sure. He thought about this idea as he walked faster and faster down the road. With each long step, he felt more sure of his plan's success. And with $50 in his pocket, nothing could keep him from Maddie. As he came into Starkfield, he saw the Hales' sleigh and hurried forward to meet it. The sleigh stopped, and Mrs. Hale's round, motherly face looked out. She smiled at Ethan, told him that her husband was at home, then added, "I'm sorry that Zena's feeling bad again. She's lucky to have you to take care of her. And so was your poor mother. You've had an awful hard life, Ethan Frome." When she had gone, Ethan felt less alone in his unhappiness. It had been a long time since anyone had spoken to him as kindly as Mrs. Hale. The Hales were caring people who felt sorry for him, and now he felt sure that they would help him. He started down the road to their house, then stopped after a few steps. He suddenly saw himself and his life in the clear light of day. He was a poor man, planning to leave his sickly wife all alone and without money. And how was he planning to do this heartless thing? By telling lies to two kind people who felt sorry for him. He turned and walked slowly back to the farm.